Now we are in a series called Set Apart. Okay, say with me, Set Apart. So we are talking about set apart. Now the word set apart, you're actually referring, okay, to the word holy. Okay, what's the meaning of holy? Means set apart. You separate. Okay, you sanctify. Okay, you purification. All those. Okay, you set apart. Okay, you do not want to mix. Okay, with any of those that are not holy. All right. Now we are now going to do our part three. Say with me, part three. Okay, it's called holiness review. Say with me, review. Now, when you think about review, it's scary, man. All right. I don't know what about you. Now, when you take your exam result, students, when you take exam result, your result is going to review. Scary, man. All right. Some of you probably went for your blood test or whatever, health test, when your result was to come and go to meet, okay? To just meet the one who's going to read your result. Scary, man. All right. Now, so today we're going to talk about holiness review. What does that mean, okay, to us? Now, the whole series of Set Apart is where we look at a biblical view of holiness. Now, this is not just us doing this series. Okay, every year in our every nation world or global world, okay, our apostolic team, okay, or president who have announced to us, okay, that this year, okay, will be the set apart year. Last year was miracle, okay, just saying that for those who just, okay, joined us. Then we think about this biblical theology of holiness throughout the Bible. If you were to do, no, we are just doing a six-part series. If you were to go in depth and do that, it's fascinating to think about who our God is, okay? A God that is holy, all right? So today, how holiness is being reviewed. Today, we're going to look at a passage from the book called Leviticus. Say with me, Leviticus. A book that probably you won't read. I don't know. But if you were to do a bit of study on Leviticus, it's amazing. Much of the truth, and it's just fascinating how, okay, the Israelites, okay, go through in the days in the wilderness, how God has introduced or put in place, okay, what's a tabernacle, why a priest, and all those. It's just fascinating, okay, to learn that. Now, the whole big idea when we talk about this part three of holiness review, and also saying when you want to find out the truth and it's been revealed, wow. All of us like, we want the truth. Well, when the truth comes, are you ready to take it? Well, it's a different story right now. So look at this phrase. God's holiness is deadly to sinful humanity. What do you all think? Right? So we got to unpack the passage in Leviticus 16 and how, okay, the people Israel respond to God's holiness. Okay, I'm going to read the first five verses first. Okay, if you can read with me. 1, 2, 3. The Lord spoke to Moses after the death of the two sons of Aaron when they drew near before the Lord and died. And the Lord said to Moses, tell Aaron, your brother, not to come at any time into the holy place inside the veil before the mercy seat that is on the ark, so that he may not die. For I will appear in the cloud over the mercy seat. Verse 3, but in this way Aaron shall come into the holy place with a bull from the herd for a sin offering and a ram, okay, for a burnt offering. And he shall put on the holy linen coat and shall have the linen undergarment on his body, and he shall tie the linen sash around his waist and wear the linen turban. There are the holy garments. He shall bathe his body in water and then put them on. And he shall take from the congregation of the people Israel 2 male goats for a sin offering and 1 ram for a burnt offering. I don't know whether you're counting how many animals are there. There are total 5 at least, right? 5. For Aaron himself, 1 bull and a ram. For the people, 2 goats and 1 ram. Okay? So being a high priest, you have 5 animals during that event, okay? During the festival. Okay, thank God. I don't have to have 5 animals here. All right. Oh, anyone aspire, okay, to be a priest or something like that. Okay, let's pray. Father God, I commit all of us in your hands as we explore Leviticus 16, amazing passage when we look back, okay, in the days, okay, of the Old Testament and looking at the temple on how they make atonement, okay, for the sins of the people. Father, help us to understand, okay, that you are God that is holy and how you want us to be holy. We talk about each and every one of us are called to be holy. Help us, Lord, to understand that. And Father, I pray, Holy Spirit, come, change us, guide us, lead us, because only you can. I give thanks. I pray this in Jesus' name. Everyone say, Amen. Now, if you read Old Testament, many people say, hey, Old Testament not applicable anymore, right? Now, they tend not to read Old Testament, they read more New Testament. But when you look at Old Testament, it's a huge, rich, okay, talking about the history of the nation of Israel. Oh, there's so much truth, okay, that we must tap on, okay? Then we will understand why Jesus came, okay, for each and every one of us. And when we talk about holiness, holy, wow, what does that mean, all right? And that helps us, okay, to maneuver our life as well. So when we look at the book of Leviticus, Leviticus is part of the five books, or the first five books, okay, which are known as the Pentateuch, okay, which is Leviticus is in the middle. You have Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, and then followed by Numbers and Deuteronomy. I want to encourage all of you, right? So in the first Sunday of the month, so start reading your Bible. You have not make a decision or will yourself to read through the whole Bible right now. With all those, and when you read Old Testament, Genesis, Exodus, and all those, you have this big question that people often ask. How can a holy God have a relationship with a sinful people? Or you reverse that. How can a sinful people have a relationship with a holy God? All right. So when you think about holy God and we are sinful, how to get near to God? It's like so impossible. All right. Or God wants to be with us, and as the moment he comes near you, you are dead. All right. Can you imagine that? Now, I don't know how many of you, when you are young and you try to catch a bird, how many of you like put out a pail, you put a stick and you tie a rope with, and put some braids and breadcrumbs and all this, waiting for the bird to go there, and you're hiding somewhere and you pull the string and you want to trap the bird? Oh, recently I came to know Uncle Yuan. Okay, someone see some hands. Oh, he has three birds that come to him, feed him with no cage. This three birds will just go around. It's like his friend, you know, with him, you know. You think about that. The moment we try to get near a bird, bird flies. So it's something like this. We can't really get near to God because of sinful nature. Now, so the Exodus narrative, if you were to read that, or the whole Bible, when you think about fire that comes, when you read about stories about God's fire that come, wow, why is that so? Okay, and you were somehow linked to, wow, God is holy. Anything is unholy, God burns it. All right, now, one of the narrative was when Moses come to encounter God, okay, running away from where he's from, and he saw this fire in the bush. Just give you a bit of introduction talking about holiness. Now Moses was keeping the flock of his father-in-law, Jethro, the priest of Midian, and he led his flock to the west side of the wilderness. He came to Horeb, the mountain of God. And the angel of the Lord appeared to him in the flame of fire out of the midst of a bush. He looked, and behold, the bush was burning, and yet it was not consumed. We know this story, okay? God wants to get the attention of Moses to come near, all right? And it's a sign of fire, a flame of fire. It's strange in the sense, as we continue to read the passage, and Moses said, I will turn aside to see this great sight, because God is luring him, okay, to pull him, okay, get his attention. Why the bush is not burned? When the Lord saw that he turned aside to see, God called to him out of the bush, Moses, Moses. How many of you have God calling you like, Daniel, Daniel, Jonathan, Jonathan, all right, Nathaniel, Nathaniel. So here am I, send me the olive star. Right, okay, all right, praise the Lord. Okay, now, here I am. Then he said, do not come near, take your sandals off your feet, for the place on which you are standing is holy ground. So, when you think of this passage, it's one message by itself. I'm not going to go in there, but here was like God getting Moses to come near, and yet when Moses come near, God said, stop! Right? You must not come near. Of course, in a little, we know that if you come near, you die, right? Now, so say this, place you're standing is holy ground. You remove your sandals. Last Thursday, all right? So our Bukit Mertajam gathering, okay, moved from Raj and Joanna's place, okay, to more like a service now, okay? We are doing like a service now in Bukit Mertajam. If you are living there or you have friends there, you want to come to our Every Nation service and Bukit Batajam, it's every fourth Thursday of the month, all right? So now we have a place that we rented and see how we grow from there, all right? So holy ground. So what I'm saying that was, in that place we are renting, we have to remove our shoe, okay, to get in. I said, wow, this place is holy ground. They themselves know this holy ground. Okay, now, another story on the fire mountain. Okay, here, Exodus 19, 10 to 12 is another story of how fire comes in. Now, the Lord said to Moses, go to the people and consecrate them today and tomorrow and let them wash their garments and be ready on the third day. Sometimes I think about that. Nah, probably they are like now in Penang. No water. So, God has to give instruction. Everybody must take their bath, okay, before they come and meet me, all right, now. Let them wash their garments and ready for the third day, for on the third day, the Lord will come down from Mount Sinai in the sight of all the people, and you shall limit for the people all around. How many of you like when the church sent out an announcement? Only so-and-so can come to church. The rest cannot come this week. Strange, right, you know? You know, all leaders and all those, hey, please come, lah, you please come. Lah. It's so difficult. But what's the instruction is, don't come to church this week. Now, take care not to go up into the mountain or touch the edge of it. Whoever touches the mountain shall be put to death. Wow, the whole concept of holiness is so real. You cannot touch anything. You touch, you die, you know. All right, now, the Moses brought the people out of the camp to meet God, and they took their stand at the foot of the mountain, and the Mount Sinai was wrapped in smoke because the Lord had descended on it in fire. Again, nobody able to get it, or else you die, burn. Now, the smoke of it went up like the smoke of a clean kiln, and the whole mountain trembled greatly. Bringing out this passage, there was also many other, okay, passage to talk about fire. So I'm just saying the whole concept, okay, for holiness is very real and how it's been revealed, okay, to his people. Now, when you think about the Passover, all right, now people ever knew, okay, very well, they seen it, experienced it, how God intervened, okay, they were calling upon God, okay, to save them, okay, from, okay, slavery. Okay, from the threat, okay, of this Pharaoh, the more like categorized as the genocidal king, okay, to kill, to wipe out every one of them. Now, after this Passover, they move on, okay, to God delivered them by Moses delivered them. So, with that, at that moment, while there was no negotiation, there was a provision. In other words, okay, God is going to send his angel of death to come and wipe out and kill all the firstborn. Okay, the only way that they'll be safe is this provision given when they see the blood and God says, I will pass over you. And it's very real, okay, in this case. Now, moving forward from there is where they come encounter the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. Okay, that's where you see Leviticus comes in and how, okay, holiness has been revealed if you will come near who God is. All right, now, in the big question that we want to explore and unpack is how can the holy God have a relationship, okay, with the sinful, with us, okay, sinful people. Now, as we read Leviticus 16, in your Bible, has this word called the Day of Atonement, okay? In Israel, it's called the Yom Kippur, all right? So that's the word. If you hear, so it derived, okay, from this Leviticus 16, okay? You can explore in that. There are many, all right? So now, so the Day of Atonement, Yom Kippur, so we preach with the two ram, all right? So we're going to talk about it and what we can learn. Now, number one, when you read that, you will realize three things I want to talk about. Okay, one, our sin is much worse than we think. When you think about that, little sin, small sin, big sin, medium sin, whatever sin that you can think of, is much worse than we think. So Leviticus chapter 16 begin with verse 1 that says the Lord spoke to Moses. Imagine the Lord spoke to Moses, not the priest. Okay, after the death of the two sons of Aaron, where they had drawn near before the Lord, okay, and died. Who are they talking about? They are talking about the son, the two sons of Aaron. They are from the priesthood. Okay, they are the Levites. All right, now, how can they die? It's crazy, you know, to hear that priests die, two sons, Okay, where they minister, okay, in the temple. All right, now, the death of Aaron's son, which is by the name of Nadab and Abihu, okay, you can read that in Leviticus 10, okay, they talk about how that happened. All right, now, Nadab and Abihu, the son of Aaron, each took his censer and put fire in and laid incense on it and offered unauthorized fire before the Lord, which he had not commanded them. And the fire came out from before the Lord and consumed them, and they died before the Lord. So that was a part who you probably wondering, why? Authorized fire? Another version say profane. Now what happened was, God has a way for the people to come before him. All right, there are certain steps, okay, that the Lord wants Moses, okay, to tell, okay, the people, when you come near God, you cannot simply come near God, because God is holy. And man's sinfulness is such that they can never get near. So there are steps that God provide, okay, that means whoever who we are, okay, they got to watch, okay, this, all right? So, which means it was offered in the day that is not authorized. It's not the day that you come to the Lord. So when you read the Bible, numbers, day, month, all those are very sensitive, very clear. So they observe that, okay, very much. The same time when we talk about Sabbath, why they observe Sabbath so real? Because in their history, okay, Sabbath is something that is very real for them to practice. Otherwise, they are cast out. All right, now, so some of these things that we will explore now. In Leviticus 16, verse 2, continue to say that the Lord said to Moses, so in other words, that has happened. Now, God introduced to Moses what it means, okay, atonement, and that was recognized as the Day of Atonement. And the Lord said to Moses, tell Aaron, and that's your brother, not to come at any time to the holy place inside the veil before the mercy seat that is on the ark, so that he may not die, for I will appear in the cloud over the mercy seats. Now, Aaron is also the high priest, okay, of during that time, all right? Now, so with that, you can somehow picture that God is a fearsome God when it comes to the subject of holiness. It's something like when you talk about holiness, when you talk about this setting, which means it's dangerous, so to speak, to any human because of the sinful nature that we have. Anytime you come near, you die. So which means the people are so afraid, they stand afar. Moses, you go. We stay here. So when you read the Bible, that is the tension, okay, that the people has. So in other words, okay, the God's presence, the greatness of God's presence is such, is so intense that anyone comes near, okay, may not live. Okay, if there's no respect, there's no honoring, or there's no show of proper reverence, okay, given. Okay, so that is what happened now. Even way through from Old Testament all the way to New Testament, you see that happening. Right? We even start with Adam, okay, Eve eating of the fruit, they were banished from the presence of God. Talk about Lot's wife, okay, talking about Lot and all those came out, and the story of Lot's wife, turn back, there was instruction given, don't look back. Look back, turn the pillar of salt. Okay. Moses supposed to hear God, and when they're talking about hitting the rock, and the water gushed out. All right. So second time, he's not supposed to hit the rock. He's supposed to speak by faith, but he did not respond by that. Okay. Moses also have his consequences. And so when come New Testament, Ananias and Sapphira, okay, talking about the prophet that they have, and they didn't reveal, but the Holy Spirit spoke. Okay. Both died. Okay. So in others, when you look at this, whether small sins, big sins, okay, all has its consequences. Over time, when you read this, wow, you can somehow narrow down that is, well, how God reveal, okay, his holiness. Okay, it's not something for us, okay, to play, all right? So when we don't take God's holiness seriously, we may think that that sin is not big deal, all right? So all of us, okay, when we look this passage, you all look silent. Okay, what pastor is telling to us? Okay, all right now. Then you read about the attribute of who God is. God, as much as he's loving, well, when you come to holiness, we don't play with that, all right? Now, for our God is a consuming fire. Psalms 92 verse 15 says, to declare the Lord is upright, He is my rock, and there is no unrighteousness in Him. You know, sometimes in our general world as well, in a company, in country, nation, okay, we want a righteous government, we want leaders, this and that. But when that being practiced, okay, good practice, good governance, and all those, many people are not happy. Last time I parked here for a longer time, nobody summoned me. Why not police summon me? Have you ever experienced that? But it's the wrong place. It's not for us to park. As though as we have been parking it for the longest time, we have been parking wrongly and breaking the law. Okay, it's a yellow line. You're not supposed to park there. Oh, I parked there for 10 years and nobody summoned me. Friends, so when rules are being instituted and being enforced, okay, are we able, okay, to take heed? All right, now, let's move on. Isaiah 6:3-5 that we talk about when the angels call upon God, holy, holy, holy. All right, now, I was just thinking about many thoughts about that. Why three times? God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Or is it that the angels were trying to emphasize, hey, come on, God is holy, holy, holy. He's trying to tell us a magnificent of God's holiness. All right? If you in our own real life is sometimes parents call you to come down to eat, or whether parents or what spouse are, dinner time, hey, dinner time, after what? Dinner time, then you start message, hey, dinner time, come down. How many emphasis and be given, right? So sometimes many of us hear out, but the emphasis of God's holiness is very real. So when we see God as holy, we don't see, okay, sin is small or big, all right? So because Isaiah, when he saw that in verse 5, okay, he said, and I say, woe is me, for I am lost, for I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of people of unclean lips, for my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. So in other words, for us, when we meet God, when we have communion with God, how do we see ourselves? All right? So that is where when we come to God, okay, in full humility. All right? So think about that. So we are saying that our sins is much worse than what we think. All right? Now, second thing, God's grace is much greater than we think. Because of that, God made provision for us. So in this passage, it's interesting how the high priest, okay, do the atonement for the people, for himself and his family and for the people. Now let's go to verse 6 and 10. Aaron shall offer the bull as a sin offering for himself, shall make atonement for himself and for his house. So Aaron is going to be the high priest. I mean, being high priest, he's going to bring the sin and of people and make sacrifice of ram and bull. All right. So first, he has to deal with him individually. Okay, him and his family. All right. Now, so what did he do? Then he shall take two goats and set them before the Lord at the entrance to the tent of meeting. And Aaron shall cast lot over the two goats. Okay, one lot for the Lord and the other for Azazel. So he's preparing all those, this bull, okay, that has been set. All right, now continue. And Aaron shall present the goat on which the Lord fell on the Lord and use it as a sin offering. But the goat on which the Lord fell for Azazel, some of you already lost, okay, what I'm by reading, okay, shall be presented alive before the Lord to make atonement over it, and it may send away into the wilderness, okay, of Azazel. Now, this verse 9 and 10. Now, I'm going to explain a bit, all right, now. Okay, first, the first part is Aaron being high priest, the bull and the ram, he made sacrifices for his sin. Okay, he has to make sure that his sin is forgiven, all right? And then for every of his family member, and he goes in, okay, behind the wheel, okay, to sprinkle blood and all those. Okay, that's for him. The second part is where the two goats come in. Just now when we read this now, all right? We read the two goats, okay, before him that he got to cast lot, which means one is for the sins, okay, of the people. Okay, the other one is being the scapegoat, all right? One he kill, one he doesn't kill, all right? So that is the scenario. If you are hearing this for the first time, as brief as I can, okay, tell you this, all right? So summary of that. Now, so in verse 9 to 10, which I read this now, so that's where we read about Aaron shall present the goat which Lord fell. This one he sacrificed. Okay, the other one would be presented alive. Can you see that? right, to make atonement. So there's two part here. Now let's continue to read in verse 15, 16. And he shall kill the goat of the sin offering that is for the people and bring its blood inside the veil and do with its blood as he did with the blood of the bull, sprinkle it over the mercy seat and in front of the mercy seat. Thus he shall make atonement for the holy place because of the uncleanness of the people of Israel, because of the transgression of all their sin, and so he shall do for the tent of meeting which dwell with them in the midst of the uncleanness. So the first part, the first goat, sacrifice, blood taken in, okay, for atonement for the sins of the people, sins that they commit. All right. Now, sometimes when we read, especially in Good Friday, Easter, we pray a message about God, okay, die for our iniquities and transgression. That's very real. Because when Jesus died on the cross, okay, forgiven us of iniquity, sins that was done inside. Transgression, sins that was done outside. So when Jesus died on the cross, he forgave us from the inside out, everything. Okay, not just from the inside, also outside. Not outside, but also inside, all right? So this is where, when you read this, how does it apply for us? When Jesus died on the cross. Even before Jesus died on the cross, he was being beaten. He's a bloody man. Okay, if you look at the whole thing, when you go to the temple, because of the slaughtering, it's blood everywhere. So Jesus became the one. Jesus was all blood, okay, when he's nailed, okay, to the cross. So here was Jesus, okay, being the significance of that is Jesus being, okay, the perfect sacrifice. You get me? You all following me? Okay, so what's the first goat, okay, that goes in? Now, let's continue to read. Now, no one may be in the tent of meeting from the time he enters to make atonement. So everybody stay afar, all right? Because the only one that chosen, okay, the high priest to make this atonement. Until he comes out and he make atonement for himself, for his house, for all the assembly of Israel. Then he shall go out to the altar that is before the Lord and make atonement for it and shall take some of the blood of the bull and some of the blood of the goat and put it on the horns of the altar all around. Now, you may lose a bit here because there are few utensils, okay, in the temple, okay, of the basin of water, the candlelight, the bread, the table of the showbread, okay, the brazen altar as you go in, all right, now, okay, if you lost that, don't worry, okay, just know that here I'm going to explain, okay, the two goat. Now, so he made all the sacrifices that the priest will go around, and he shall sprinkle some of the blood on it with his finger seven times, and cleanse it, consecrate it for the uncleanness of the people Israel, okay? All right, let's move on. Okay, now, let's look at the second goat. Now, and when he has made an end of the atoning of the holy place and the tent of meeting at the altar, he shall present the live goat. The first one, second one is the live goat. What happens is live goat? Now, most of the time we read the Bible, probably a passage or commentaries. This is live goat, which is a scapegoat. How the name of scapegoat come about? It's an escape goat. Okay, you got it, huh? Or you buy ticket, you go to escape in Telok Bahang. All right, now. And Aaron shall lay both his hand on the head of the live goat and confess over it all the iniquities of the people of Israel and all their transgression. Iniquities, transgression, all right? All their sins. And he shall put them on the head of the goat, send it away into the wilderness by the hand of man. So he has assigned one to bring this goat, okay, who is in readiness. The goat shall bear all the iniquities on itself to a remote area, and he shall let the goat go free in the wilderness. All right, now. So what does that mean? Now, the first goat slaughtered with all blood is forgiveness of the sin. Okay, all the sins that committed. The second goat, which is a scapegoat, where the priest will lay hands and confess all the sin and have assignment to bring the goat. So what happened is, all the people will be there and watching. All right? Now, when it's let go to go to the wilderness, everybody will watch. Now, as far as the man assigned to bring this scapegoat, they will go and they will see until it cannot be seen anymore. How many of you were waiting, sending off your friends by car as they drive away, the car becomes smaller and smaller, or you're in the ship ship and you see the ship going, or in the airport, aeroplane fly. They can't see anymore, okay? So same scenario, scapegoat, man be assigned to take to their watch until one point they can't see the goat anymore. All right, now, what? Okay, before I go to what does that mean? Now let's continue to read verse 20-22. And when he has made an end of the atoning of the holy place, have I read this? Yeah, I read this already, all right? Now, Hebrews, okay, 9:11-14 will help us understand, okay, the author of Hebrews said this, but when Christ appeared as high priest for the good things that have come, and then through the greater and more perfect tent, not made with hands, not is not of this creation, he entered once for all in all the holy places, not by means of the blood of goats and calves, but by means of his own blood, thus securing an eternal redemption. Okay? So now, for if the blood of the goats and bulls, can you understand now when you read the Hebrew now? The author of Hebrew now referring back to the book of Leviticus, or what is done in the temple, which the people of Israel understand. For us, may not understand, because this is what they go through every year, right now. And with the ashes of a heifer sanctified for the purification of the flesh, how much more will the blood of Christ, who through eternal spirit offer himself without blemish to God, purify our conscience from the dead words to serve, okay, a living God? So what does that tell us? This both goat also represent Jesus. Why? Because Jesus, when he was beaten, he was being sacrificed. Okay, Jesus with all blood, okay, for the forgiveness of the sin, okay, iniquities and transgression. All right. Now, when Jesus died on the cross, was carried away, nobody able to see the body anymore. All right. So both represent, okay, who Jesus is. Now, Jesus is also the high priest. So when it comes to atonement and all those, who is the only one to perform this? It's none other than the high priest himself. Okay, it's not like, okay, priest one, okay, you take care of this, priest two, you take care of this, priest three, take care of this. It's not, everything is done by the high priest. So in other words, okay, the one that offers us, okay, the forgiveness of sin is none, okay, or the it's none other than atoning sacrifice of Christ alone, okay, that bring forth atonement to restore, okay, every broken relationship we have, every sin, okay, that we committed and so on, all right? So this is where it took place, okay, to explain, okay, the atonement and all those, all right? Now, so the very simple act is all those, okay, to tell us, when they were performing this in the temple, and author of Hebrew is saying, how much more will the blood of Christ, who through the eternal life, as eternal spirit, offer himself without blemish and to God purify our conscience and the dead works? Can you see that? So it is no longer the bull and the rams, because Jesus became, okay, the perfect sacrifice. And Jesus became also, he also, the high priest, who performed all this by himself. Okay? All right, I hope that's clear. So with that, number three is to conclude, Jesus is the high priest, God's only provision to go beyond the will. Can you get a picture now? Today is like Easter Sunday. Okay, all right now. So with that, that's why Hebrews 6:19-20, we have this as a sure and steadfast anchor of the soul, a hope that enters into the inner place behind the curtain where Jesus has gone as a forerunner on behalf, having become a high priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. So which also mean, in the past, in the Old Testament, okay, it was a high priest, it was a ram and a bull, okay, but in the order of Melchizedek, which is Jesus himself, having that order is different from the Old Testament. That's why when Jesus died on the cross, Jesus did not forego the law. What happened was, what was forego is the ceremonial law. All right. That's why when people ask, Ten Commandments still stands or not? Yes, of course. There's a moral law. All right. Otherwise, Ten Commandments, what? You shall not murder. If That commandment is gone, meaning can we murder? No, of course. Okay, the Ten Commandments all relate to the moral law and how we honor God, honor people. So that is important. Love people. All right. So here is the order of Melchizedek. Not like the past, but now it's a new order, okay, which means the ceremonial law, okay, is done, okay, because Jesus became the sacrifice, perfect sacrifice. What does that respond to us? In other words, when we hear about who Jesus is, when you hear our gospel, you must receive, okay, God's grace, because none of us, okay, can sanctify ourselves. None of us, okay, can obtain that provided, okay, we come to the Lord Jesus Christ. Are you there with me? All right. Now, so the last two verses, and it shall be a statute to you forever that in the 7th month, on the 10th day of the month, this is the day of atonement, okay, which is still practiced today, shall afflict yourself and shall do no work, either the native or the stranger who sojourn among you. On this day shall atonement be made for you to cleanse you. You shall be clean forever, the Lord, from all your sins. So when this was done, it's also a Sabbath day, okay, which means on that day, people choose to rest, people choose to be humble, okay, from where they are, and come for this and surrender themselves, okay, to God, so that, okay, the forgiveness of sin can be done. Okay, of course, today we know Jesus already on the cross. Okay, you have a better position, okay, and all those in the past. And whoever does any work on that very day, so that's why when you look at people who also Sabbath, right, they don't do any work. But of course, we know that they have become so so ritual, religious, and all those, every single work they don't do. Very true. If you have been to Israel, when you take the leaf, you want to take the halal leaf or not? Okay, when you take the leaf, okay, they don't press. Now, that's why the sensor was being created, all right, invented. They sense you, the door open, you go in, all right. It was said, this leaf will stop in every floor. So you get out at the floor that you're in. So no work is done. You shall not do any work. It is a statute forever throughout your generation in all dwelling place. It shall be to you a Sabbath, a solemn rest. And you shall afflict yourself on the 9th day of the month, beginning on the evening. From evening to evening shall you keep your Sabbath. But for them, it's very real. Of course, our Sabbath, talking about how we work today, Sunday majority is a rest day. All right. If you are busy throughout the whole week, you got to choose a day that you take rest, okay, and come before the Lord. Good, amen? All right? So that's practical. Otherwise, this is a story, but I want to end already. Okay, now, so with that, what are we saying? When you come before the Lord, and we know, okay, how holiness is revealed for us, we receive by faith. We come before the Lord. Okay, things that we have not go the way that we have done when think about holiness. And of course, don't get yourself being unholy, okay, in whatever manner, okay, of course not, all right? So God has made provision. Do not take God for granted. So our part is to receive that. Now here is a story, maybe take some time, but anyway, this is a story about 200 years ago about a man, George Wilson, was sentenced to be hanged for robbing the United States Mail for murder. Andrew Jackson was a president then, so he was asked to exercise this prerogative, okay, to pardon him. But what happened was, this man chose not to be pardoned. It's something that we also need to learn, that all of us, you got to keep ourselves humble and receive, so that God could forgive. So what happened was, this setting went to, okay, the Supreme Court, okay, where Wilson refused for the pardon. And Chief Justice John Marshall wrote official ruling for the court that says this: a pardon is an act of grace, he said, the validity of which is not complete without acceptance. It might be rejected by the person to whom it was offered, and the court could not force it upon him. The court cannot give the prisoner the benefit of the pardon unless he claims the benefit of it. So this is asking for response. Okay, when we read the Old Testament, we read the New Testament, it also plays in our hands, okay, to receive that and ask God for forgiveness, ask God to cleanse us. So as we talk about set apart, so for all of us, as we do this series and this year, when we talk set apart, it also lies within us, okay, whether we want to set apart our life or not. The decision is in your hands. So I'm encouraging all of us. Okay, set apart out of your busyness. Time spent with God. Word, pray, worship. Set apart, cover out time where you talk to people who have yet to know Christ. Set apart time that you can disciple another person. Okay, so there are parts, okay, in our life that we can be, okay, a blessing, okay, to the kingdom of God. Now, Paul, as I end this, Paul coined this so well that is probably some of you have memorized. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and it's not your own doing, it's the gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast. So all that doing is God, not us. Salvation is what God did for us, not what we do for God. Alright? Okay, come, let's pray. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Father, I pray, okay, as we look at holiness review. Father God, there's so much, okay, that we learn from that. Sometimes 40 minutes message may not, okay, do justice. But Father, I pray, okay, with this message, help us, okay, to embrace a life of holiness. God's holiness is deadly to sinful humanity. But Jesus provides a pathway for people to return to Him. And that is saving grace. Father, I uphold each and every one of us. For us who have come to know Christ, that we do not take you for granted. For all who have not come to the knowledge of Jesus Christ, I pray, Father, that they will encounter you. They will come to a place, okay, to understand and receive you, okay, as their Lord and Savior. And if you have not, okay, come to a knowledge of Jesus Christ, okay, come, approach, okay, any one of us, your friend, leaders, okay, that may let you and disciple you in the ways of God. I commit all of us into your hands. In Jesus' name I pray. Everyone say, Amen.